Good morning.
And welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Richard Hunter, and I'll be your liturgist this morning. As we begin, there are registration pads on the inside of each pew. If you would, go ahead and fill those out and pass them to the outside. And then as they're coming back, if there's names on there you don't know, be sure and introduce yourself to a visitor. If you weren't born here at Asbury, then we were all visitors at one time. So you're welcome here. There are a few announcements that we need to go over, and you can take a look at the back of your bulletin, and there are actually more there. Vacation Bible School registration begins May 1st. This year's theme is To Mars and Beyond, and is for kids ages 4 through 5th grade. The dates for Vacation Bible School are June 2nd through June 6th. Contact Laura Stinnett by calling the church office and register for a great time this summer. Today is Confirmation Sunday. In this service, we will be celebrating the graduation of the Confirmation Class of 2019. This year's confirmands are Rachel Hoff, January Marriott, Aaron Parker, Audrey Rose, Aaron Stumhofer, Mark Tudor, and Dylan Wright. We, along with the members and family, are excited at their achievement. Be sure and look at the special insert in the bulletin containing their creed and special thoughts from their mentors. On May 5th, it is Senior Sunday. In our launch service, we will be honoring our graduating seniors, and their names are listed in the back of the bulletin. There will be journals in the coffee time, which you've probably already been in there, but they would like you to sign any kind of notes or words of encouragement to our graduating seniors, and then they will hand those journals out to the graduating seniors. A note, Mary Ellen Murray's service will be Tuesday here at Asbury with a reception to follow. Now, to all who need comfort, friendship, and love of God through our Savior Jesus Christ, this church opens wide its doors in the name of our Lord and say, welcome. Would you please stand and pass the peace of Christ to one another? If you are able, please stand and join in our hymn of praise, Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 327 in the United Methodist Hymnal.
Thank you.
standing and join in the congregational prayer. Eternal Father, giver of all life, we offer our thanks for this holy day in which these young people will profess their faith in you. We pray as they continue their faith experience by choosing to follow you faithfully throughout their lives. They will be strengthened and encouraged in their Christian discipleship. May we, as the body of Christ, uphold one another in Christian love, serving the kingdom together faithfully and with exuberance of the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in the name of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As the ushers come forward, let us pray and ask God to bless our morning offering. Father, you love us more than we could ever understand. We show our love through our tithes and gifts this morning. Bless them so that they may help in spreading your love to a world in great need. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. morning I'm so happy to share with you from the book of James in the New Testament. Give you a moment to find that as we go to the first chapter, looking to verses 22 through 25. May the people of God be blessed as we hear from this word of God recorded in James in the New Testament, almost toward the end of the New Testament, as we find the first chapter and reading verses 22 through 25. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observes his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer that acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. The word of God for the people of God. So this is a marvelous, marvelous day as we visit and honor our confirmands as they share with the whole world what they believe. So I've entitled my message today, I Believe. Now, we've just come off of Easter, and last year during Easter, following the services, we had an Easter egg hunt in our backyard. And our then almost 3-year-old granddaughter was so excited. Tony got it on video and even put it on Facebook last year to remind everybody how terrible a grandmother I am. So as we were hunting eggs, and she was just having so much fun and just in earnest search for each and every one, there was this one egg that was just glaring at her. I mean, like in front of her, and she couldn't see it. It was kind of nestled a little bit in a bush. And I said, Lane Austin, there's an egg. If it was a snake, it'd bite you. It's so close. And she, barreled back. And we hardly were able to finish the hunt, because she believed her Emmy. And her Emmy doesn't tell her anything but the truth. And her Emmy forgot that she doesn't know what that phrase means. So this year, the first thing I said to her at the Easter egg hunt was, there are no snakes in Emmy's backyard. And she believed me. You know, it is wonderful to have Confirmation Sunday right on the heels, right following Easter Sunday, when we have the culmination, if you will, of glorifying our risen Lord. And on Confirmation, we have a culmination or a graduation, if you will, of classes that these young people have taken and years of Sunday school lessons and Vacation Bible School and all the times that parents and grandparents and loved ones have nurtured these young people in the faith. And today, they're coming to profess all that they have learned and all that they have felt as they give their lives to Jesus Christ. I believe. It's interesting, I chose the book of James today because James wrote this book, and James was a brother of Jesus Christ. And James, we all know, did not believe his brother was the Messiah or Christ. I mean, he didn't believe he was God's son. He had been with his brother growing up. He had played in the streets with him. He had eaten meals with him. He had, you know, galloped and trolloped all over the hills where they lived. He had seen his brother every day, and he didn't see anything particularly holy about him. He'd gone to synagogue with him and Mary and Joseph. To him, he was just a brother who was fun to pester. Although James did not claim Jesus as family, didn't witness his brother's crucifixion, did not believe in him until well after he was resurrected, well after 8 days, well after hundreds of eyewitnesses had seen the risen Lord in his new body. Still, there came a time when James had to believe. James had to believe because James wanted to believe. James had to believe because he needed to believe. James had to believe because he absolutely believed. What takes someone from the realm of possibility of believing to actual believing then is not proof, it's faith. You and I sit in chairs. Every one of you is sitting in a pew. Did you look at the pew before you sat down in the pew to see if it might hold you up? Did you check it for cracks or imperfections? No. You had faith and belief that if you sat down in that pew, it would hold you. I'm so grateful it is. My point would have been ruined. We read the Bible about Jesus. We learn all kinds of things about Jesus. How he loved, how he healed, how wise Jesus is. And we accepted these things not because we have particularly experienced all of these, and perhaps we have, but we believe them in faith. Because we trust God and we know Jesus is of God. And Jesus is present and available to each and every one of us. Why? How? Through our faith. We know by faith and we believe that these things can happen to us. We don't have to have Jesus physically sitting next to us in a pew to know that Jesus is in this room. Amen? I don't have to know that. I don't have to know that Jesus is in my heart in order for his words to be uttered forth from my mouth. But I know he's in my heart. And I know I share his truth. By faith, we believe. The woman with the hemorrhage, awful condition. I believe it said for 12 years. And she believed if she just touched the edge, the bottom of Jesus' garment. And it was probably very dirty, right? I mean, he was walking the dirty streets. There's no pavement. She didn't care. She just believed that if she touched the bottom of that, she would be healed. She believed not because she'd experienced healing from him before. She did not experience that or even perhaps even know any others who had. No, you see, she believed. If she was not only in his presence, but if she just touched him. Which, remember, for a woman in that culture, in that day, to touch a man other than her husband, do you understand what a grave danger she was in by doing that? She didn't care because her faith overcame any concern she might have had, any regard she might have had for the law in that day. And she was healed. The widow of Nain, a pagan woman, did not believe in the one true God, Yahweh. And yet, she believed in Jesus Christ. She believed if she just told him her story about her son, that Jesus could heal her son. And he said, but I've come for the children of Israel. In other words, I'm here for the Jews. I'm sorry. You don't believe in me. You're not even from a country that's even trying to appear to be Jewish. And listen to what she says, how she even challenges Jesus. But Lord, even the dogs get to gather the crumbs under thy table. I can almost see Jesus coming back a little bit and having a very much of a wow moment. Because he said, in all of Israel, I've never seen such faith. Go home. your son is healed. Jesus asked his disciples, who do they say that I am? What's the talk around town? And they all piped in their own little answer. Well, some say, you know, you're John the Baptist who's come back. Others say, you're Elijah come back. And yet others just say, you're a prophet. Jesus said, all right, who do you say I am? And Peter, whom you could always count to speak up, said, oh, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You know what Jesus said? Blessed are you, Simon of Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Peter proclaimed Christ, not because anybody else had proclaimed Christ. Peter proclaimed Jesus to be Christ because he believed. In a few moments, my young people, you're going to be asked some vows, some pretty important questions. Do you reject evil of any kind and repent of your sin? Do you accept the liberty and power that God has given you to resist that evil, injustice, and oppression of any kind? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, placing your whole trust in his grace, in his mercy, and promise to serve him as your Lord? Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? These vows are answered by the depth of your faith, not totally on your experience or proof of existence or any kind of scientific data. At some point, Christ has called out to you in some form or fashion, and you have decided to answer him. There's a wonderful remake of the movie Miracle on 34th Street. Have any of you young people seen that remake, that 1994 movie, Miracle on 34th Street? Were you not born then? Wow. Okay, get mom and dad to downstream it, or during the holidays, or at some point, you have to watch it. Richard Attenborough plays Chris Kringle. There's a wonderful line in this movie. Okay? I want you to listen. If you don't listen to anything else Pastor Mary is saying, please listen to this line in the movie. It's a great, great line. It's Chris Kringle trying to convince Dory, who is a mom, trying to make it a single mom, raising a daughter, and she is an executive, and she's hired him for the parade. But she's a big doubter in Chris Kringle. And he decides that she is quite the challenge, the test case. Listen what he says. I'm not just a whimsical figure. I'm a symbol of the human ability to suppress the selfish and hateful tendencies which rule the major part of our lives. If you can't believe, if you can't accept anything on faith, then you're doomed for a life dominated by doubt. That resonates with me. Every decision that is important in your life to make, every decision, your purpose, your calling, possibly a future spouse, your job, the choice of how you will use your God-given resources, all of those decisions are determined by your willingness and depth by which you practice your faith. Apostle Paul said in Hebrews 11:1, and I Wish everybody would memorize this. It's not that long of a verse. And it's a great verse to remember whenever you find yourself at a crossroads, needing to make a decision, starting to have some self-doubt. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not yet seen. Hebrews 11:1. Our creed we say every Sunday, or most every Sunday, the Apostles' Creed. Say it with me, won't you? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Virgin born Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and was buried. On the third day, he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Even when you're trying to say it from memory in front of a bunch of people and you think you've got it memorized because you're kind of old, you even forget. But it doesn't take away your belief. Do you believe everything you just said? It has lasted all of these centuries because it hits the components of our faith. I believe in God the Father. I believe in His Son. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe Jesus lived, that He died, that He arose from the grave, that He came in the form of the Holy Spirit, that He sits at the right hand of God the Father. The right hand is the place of honor. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church. That's not the Roman Catholic Church. That's the Church Universal, everyone that believes in Jesus Christ. I believe in the communion of the saints. That's the saints that are living here on earth, and even more the saints of the Church Triumphant. And the forgiveness of our sins. We have to believe that, or what's all this for? The resurrection of the body. When we go down into the ground, that's not all it is. We are going to rise up with life everlasting. Amen. Now, believing doesn't mean we are perfect, but it does mean we are genuine in our faith. And our motivation is that genuineness of our faith. We have mentors of the faith, saints in the faith, teachers of the faith. We have scriptures that notate the saga of salvation history for us to also lift us and affirm us in our faith. But James tells us today that it's not enough. We have to act on our faith, right? And I look at you young people, and that's what you've been doing. You've been acolyting for years. You've been singing praises to Jesus for years. You've been going to Vacation Bible School and Sunday School and worship faithfully. You've been serving at Stone Soup. You've been working at Hog on the Hill. You've been doing all kinds of things in this church, not because your church expected you, but as a witness for Jesus Christ and how you love Him. You think we'd feel any less of you if you hadn't done all those things? What we do is celebrate your faith with you in doing those things. Done these things and witnessed your faith. May God bless you as you continue to believe and do your faith to the glory of God and the rest of your faith journey for the rest of the days of your life and beyond. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would now invite the congregation to prepare themselves for our wonderful service of confirmation. If you'll just follow along in the bulletin, Brothers and sisters, from time to time, we experience a new beginning in our faith journey when the Holy Spirit breaks into our lives to inspire us and deepen our commitment to Christ. Today, we praise the Lord for what God has been doing in the lives of our confirmands. May God's peace and richest blessings be with you. At this time, I'd like to present to you our wonderful confirmands and mentors. Rachel Hoff, Mentor Todd Mead, January Marriott, and Mentor Sarah Abanyan, Aaron Parker, and Mentor Valera McDaniel, Audrey Rose, and Mentor Dennis Rose, Aaron Stumhofer, and Mentor Joe Hoff, Confirmand Mark Tudor, and Mentor Tom Tudor, and Dylan Wright, and Mentor Clark Cogville. These are your wonderful young people. They're about to embark in yet another great phase of their faith journey. We have some presentation of gifts at this time.
Confirmands, receive these gifts, hold them dearly, as they are from so many who care for you. Witness your faith as you grow to learn who you are as a child of God. As you develop your relationship with your Savior Jesus Christ, may God bless and keep you always.
With our hands, our hearts, and our minds, we will seek to witness God's love and care for all persons. With the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord, we give thanks to God for this day and the beginning of faith. May our lives be a testimony to God's love. The confirmands have been through quite the journey of classes since January, lots of experiences, and I'm going to invite each of them to turn around as they share with you something that they learned in this journey. Rachel, turn around, sure.
Through this journey, I have learned about my faith in the faith of the others around me.
Through this journey, I have learned more about the founder of the Methodist Church.
Through this journey, I've learned more about the Trinity that is three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Through this journey to the Methodist Church, I have learned about all the roles.
Through this journey, I have learned about the history of the United Methodist Church.
Through this journey, I've learned all about the history and the workings of the Methodist Church.
Through this journey, I have learned more about the Trinity than I knew before.
All right. Those are wonderful, wonderful comments that they share with you today as a part of their experience. I've always appreciated the confirmation classes and this time with our young people. This year has been especially meaningful to me as it's my last time to be here and to be a senior pastor of any church in which I have a confirmand class as I'm retiring in June. So I love these young people. I'm so proud of them. And one thing I have learned, and it's been reinforced, is we have no worries. Our future is in the hands of these young people who love their Jesus and who love serving him. Thanks be to God. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our own baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. Today, I present to you Rachel Hoff, January Marriott, Aaron Parker, Audrey Rose, Aaron Stumhofer, Mark Tudor, and Dylan Wright for reaffirmation of their baptism and confirmation. So to each of you, I would ask you to answer these questions, which are asked of you as you prepare to profess your faith. On behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? And if you do, your response is, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And if you do, your response is, I do.
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. And if you do, your response is, I do. According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? And if you will, your response is, I will.
I will.
To the congregation, I ask you these questions. Will you support and encourage these persons in their Christian faith? And do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? And if you do, your answer is, we do.
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include these persons now before you in your care? And if you will, your answer is, we will.
We will.
At this time, I invite the parents and members of the family to come forward as these young people reaffirm and remember their baptism. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for the cleansing gift of living water given through the redemptive power of Jesus Christ, who was baptized with water in the Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon those who touch this water, that they may remember they are cleansed of their sin, clothed in righteousness, and live out the rest of their lives through the eternal grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Rachel, dear, remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. January, remember your baptism, dear, and be thankful. Amen. Aaron, remember your baptism, be thankful. Amen. Audrey, remember your baptism, sweet, be thankful. Aaron, remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. Mark, remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. And Dylan, remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen. Praise God. Confirmands, we have one more vow in which to answer. Will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and strengthen its ministries through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? And if you will, your response is, I will. And congregation, please stand in honor of these, our newest members of Asbury United Methodist Church. And please turn to the back of your bulletin where you join in the pledge. Members of the household of faith, I commend these persons to your love and care. Will you do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love? And if you will, your response is, we will.
We will.
Let us join in this collect together. We give thanks for all that God has already given you. And we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. We're going to allow the confirmands and their families and mentors to be seated as we all remain standing. Well, I guess when you get back to your pew, you need to stand as well. And we're going to sing our hymn of commitment, a fabulous hymn for this special Sunday. This is a day of new beginnings. This is the gift of a new day, a new beginning for each and every one of us, because it's a new day in which to share Jesus Christ to this world through the love, through the truth, through the justice, through the grace. As these young people carry out the light of Christ, I pray that you've felt some light today from this service, that you have some hope as you join in with these young people and know that the world is in a good place in their hands. And may we go forward now and share this light of Christ that lives in our hearts but is meant to be shared. May we go forward in this light. Amen.